This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, September 25th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Rollins speaking at Ag Outlook Forum. China no longer developing economy, it says, and APHIS urged to protect trade. Rollins to address the Ag Outlook Forum. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins will address the annual Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City today during this pivotal moment in time for agriculture. The forum at the Kansas City Marriott downtown is sponsored by the Agribusiness Council of Kansas City and AgriPulse Communications. Rollins goes on at 10 o'clock Central Time. Before Rollins at 9:30 Central is Alet Sayago, Vice President of Ag and Turf Sales and Marketing for John Deere. Other speakers include USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer, Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas, and Harris Pittman, Director of the National Agricultural Law Center. Judge says IG firings were illegal but will not require reinstatement. A federal judge says President Donald Trump's abrupt January firing of federal inspectors general violated a 1978 law requiring Congress to be notified in advance, but she did not order their reinstatement. Federal Judge Anna C. Reyes in Washington, D.C. ruled yesterday that Trump violated the Inspector General Act by not giving lawmakers the required notice and rationale for removal. USDA Inspector General Phyllis Fong was among those fired. But Judge Reyes says the fired IGs could not prove that being fired had caused them irreparable harm and noted that even if they were reinstated, they could still be lawfully removed once Trump did provide notice. The court recognizes plaintiffs' exceptional service as IGs marked by decades of distinguished leadership across multiple administrations, Reyes wrote. They sacrifice much to take on the role of an IG and as many demands, no doubt including substantial time away from family and far larger paychecks available in the private sector. They deserve better from their government. They still do. China to forgo developing country perks at WTO. China says that it will no longer self-identify as a developing economy at the World Trade Organization and will forgo the benefits and flexibilities associated with the status. Chinese Premier Li Qiao made the announcement at the United Nations General Assembly this week. Why it matters? Well, developing economies can get special and differential treatment at WTO negotiations. They can also sometimes take on lesser obligations or be exempt from certain obligations and agreements. Former WTO Director General Alan Wolf told AgriPulse the move shows that China wants more leadership in an international trade. If China ever wanted to take a real leadership role in the WTO, Wolf said, this was an obstacle, China claiming that it was something that it was not. Alternatively, Wolf said China's move could be an effort to sweeten ongoing trade negotiations with the U.S.-American officials had long been frustrated by China's insistence that it was a developing country and should get special treatment. This is long overdue. Should have happened 15 or 20 years ago, Wolf said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Customs brokers urge APHIS not to let government shutdown disrupt trade. An industry group representing U.S. customs brokers and freight forwarders urging agencies to protect trade operations if the government is shut down. In a letter to APHIS and other agencies, the National Customs Brokers and Forwarders Association of America urged the agencies to exempt enough employees to maintain import and export operations. Exempted employees keep working through government shutdowns. Safe and healthy trade supply chains are necessary to both the economic and fiscal security of our country and for American agriculture, the letter to APHIS reads. In the event of a government shutdown, we ask APHIS to prioritize import and export processing. The government will shut down on September 30th unless lawmakers can break a deadlock over government spending. Europe eyes further delay for deforestation rules. The European Commission is considering further delaying implementation of deforestation rules that would require importers of some ag commodities to show supply chains are deforestation free. The rules were set to come into effect this December after being delayed by a year. Environment Commissioner Jessica Rosewald told reporters on Tuesday the commission is weighing another one-year delay due to IT issues. Why it matters? Well, U.S. officials and ag producers have repeatedly railed against the regulation, most recently in a 2025 report on global trade barriers. They decry onerous traceability requirements and argue the U.S. poses only a slight deforestation risk as a part of the EU-U.S. trade framework agreed on last month. European Commission committed to addressing U.S. exporters' concerns. Agrifinance executive downplays rate cut impacts. The Federal Reserve is trimming interest rates, but John Mammen, North American Senior Director for Nutrien Financial, says that's not going to help the farm economy very much. He said it takes a long time to recover from such a rapid inflationary period. Mammen told reporters at Nutrien's headquarters in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Small, minimal drops in rates don't compensate for the 4%, 5% increase and everything else that came with that over a sustained period of time, Mammen said. At the same time, he stressed that the situation today is much different than the 1980s. Land values are as high as ever and cash rent isn't going down anytime soon. And the cost of doing business continues to rise, he said. Senate Democrats expressed concern about FNS reorganization. 10 Senate Democrats say they're concerned USDA plans to close 3 of 7 food and nutrition service offices. The senators say the closures could lead to reduced oversight, quality, diminished technical assistance, and weakened relationship with state partners. In a letter, the lawmakers said USDA is planning to reduce the number of FNS regional offices from 7 to 4 locations. They cited an August 6 briefing by the USDA legislative advisor, Taylor Keel. The lawmakers, who include Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, also said 500 FNS staff have left the agency since January 20th, which the senators claim has led to longer wait times for state agencies needing support, delayed financial audits and management evaluations, and overall deterioration of nutrition programming. Closing regional offices and relocating staff will only exacerbate these issues, they wrote. Here's today's final word. There's a problem of, if you have the land, do you have equal and proper access to USDA programs to support the land that you have? As you all know, USDA recently finalized a rule eliminating the socially disadvantaged farmer and rancher designation, claiming that race and gender-based discrimination has already been resolved. Now, we know that isn't true. So I was quick to send a letter to the USDA asking them for their reasoning behind this claim. But beyond the practical impact, I'm deeply concerned about the message that this sends. That's the word of Representative Chantel Brown of Ohio, moderating a panel sponsored by the Farm Credit Council at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation Annual Legislative Conference. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, September 25th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.